God. This morning, for a short period of time as we come together to worship, we are going to talk about a very important topic, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, we have this recorded in Scripture. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Now, question is, back to verse 3, he lied to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is spoken of in verse 4 as being God. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead. And so we have God, of course, God the Father. We have God the Son, the Word who became flesh. And we have God the Holy Spirit. We have three personalities in the one Godhead. We have the Holy Spirit involved in our conversion. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, turn with me if you will at this time, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we're not going to understand the Godhead to perfection. We can only understand it to the extent that God has revealed it to us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have recorded for us, speaking of conversion, in verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit," and I think you would agree with me, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, "for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and having been made to drink into the one Spirit." So notice, by one Spirit we are all baptized, it tells us there, into one body. Now, how was that accomplished? How by this one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, were we all baptized in this one body? That's a good question, and God gives us the answer. It was by the means of the teachings of the Spirit. That is the gospel. Remember Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we have recorded for us here very clearly as Paul is talking to those at Rome, and he tells us, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? It is the power of God to salvation." So now, what are you talking about? Being baptized, that's salvation. It's not. So the gospel was the means. How did we get the gospel? Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Are you following along now? So by one Spirit. How was the Spirit involved in our initial conversion? Through the preaching of the Word. Through responding favorably to the Word. Turn with me, if you will, to another passage as we deal with that, talking about the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Go back to Acts chapter 2. We're very familiar with this. This is just setting the stage for what we're going to be discussing this morning about the Holy Spirit. We find in Acts chapter 2, now before we get to start reading at verse 37, remember prior to that, the apostles were filled with who? The Holy Spirit. And if we go back to the beginning of the chapter, and the apostles began to speak in other languages, correct? And in speaking of those other languages, what were they proclaiming? They were proclaiming the gospel, were they not? And we come now to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, it states this, "Now when they heard, they would be the audience." What did the audience hear? They heard the gospel. "When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Hold your place in Acts chapter 2. Put your finger or put your string in Acts chapter 2. Let's go to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's let the Word explain itself for us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Here we have recorded for us, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Notice, the Word of God is living and powerful. Go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. "Now when they heard this," what did they hear? They heard the Word of God. They were pricked in their heart. They asked, "What shall we do?" How did they get all that? From the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you following? So by one Spirit, through the preaching of the word, because that's what the Spirit brought us, they were convicted in the heart and asked men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Let's go to one more passage as we talk about the Holy Spirit and one's conversion. And 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not suggesting that the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. But I am suggesting to you in our study this morning that the Holy Spirit works through the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, which is the Word of God. So don't leave this morning and say, Chuck said the Holy Spirit's the Word of God. That's not what Chuck said. Chuck said the Holy Spirit does His work. The Holy Spirit, the part of the Godhead, does His work through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We see this in conversion, do we not? That the Holy Spirit was involved in conversion by the preaching of the Word of God. Now, if we go to the book of Peter, chapter 1, we have recorded, we've studied this in our Peter class, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, listen, through the Spirit. Because how did we get the truth? Through the Spirit. What did they obey? The truth. What was the truth they obeyed? They obeyed the gospel. Are you following me? So we're talking about this here. How by one Spirit were we all baptized? Does that include you and I if we've been baptized? Absolutely. Now, the Spirit didn't come upon me mystically. Some people believe that, but that's not how He did it. He did it. The Spirit came upon me and involved in my conversion because I responded favorably to the Spirit's teaching. I responded favorably to the Word of God. Let's go on and read this. Again, we've got book, chapter, and verse for this. In the sincere love of the brethren, verse 22, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, what? Through the Word of God. Does your Bible say that? Having been born again through the Word of God. Okay, how did we get the Word of God? By the Holy Spirit. So how was the Holy Spirit involved in my conversion? 1 Corinthians 12:13. We were all baptized into one body because of the teachings of the Spirit. We were pricked in the heart by the teachings of the Spirit, and we were baptized. So the Holy Spirit's involved in our conversion through the Word. But our study this morning is the Holy Spirit involved in our conduct. So we go from the initial stage, being baptized, put into Christ, put into His body, now to speaking of a daily conduct. And we're going to see throughout this study this morning that the Holy Spirit works in us, in our conduct, through the Word. That's how we're going to learn that. So again, I want to say this before we even go into the lesson. The Holy Spirit is going to work in my life to the extent that I allow the teachings of the Spirit to control my life. Now, if I choose not to allow the teachings of the Holy Spirit, that is the Word of God, to control my life, then the Holy Spirit's not going to do a whole lot for me, and I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. The Holy Spirit, a part of the Godhead, is not going to take my freedom of choice away. I'll always have the freedom of choice. Now, I can be guided by the Holy Spirit if I'm guided by the teachings of the Holy Spirit. But if I decide to ignore the teachings of the Holy Spirit, you're not guided by a feeling. You see, a lot of people talk about, well, this Holy Spirit thing, it's just some... No, it's not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit is working in 2023. But the Holy Spirit is working in one's conversion and one's conduct through the teachings of the Spirit. Let's see how that applies as we study our lesson this morning. Listen, it tells us to live according to the Spirit. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11, it states here, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's basically what it's telling us. If I have no concern for what these teachings are for us, it's not going to affect me. It's going to be of no value to me. It's not that it couldn't be of value to me, but it's not what I'm interested in. I'm of the flesh. But if I'm of the Spirit, following the teaching of the Spirit, it states in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. I want to stop here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Not in a direct manner that He controls me and does things. Because if I'm saying in a direct manner that He's in control, then if I'm lost, whose fault is it? It'd be God's. But the Father, the Son, and the Spirit dwell in me as I take the teachings of the Spirit and make them a part of my life. I'm not trying to be arrogant. It's as simple as that. If you don't have a Spirit-filled life, it's because you're not going to the teachings of the Spirit. You're not going to get a Spirit-filled life mystically, because if you're going to get it mystically, then God's a respecter of persons. And my God that I serve is not a respecter of persons. Now, do I believe in the Godhead? You better believe it. Believe the Father. I believe the Son. I believe the Holy Spirit. Do I believe the Holy Spirit is active? Well, if I choose to allow Him to be active in my life. And it goes on to state, but verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Okay, so you got the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And if Christ is where? Is in you. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Years ago, there was a lot of friction amongst the Lord's people as to how the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Maybe I'm just a simpleton, because I didn't see the difficulty in that. The Holy Spirit dwells in me to the extent I take the teachings of the Spirit and make the teachings of the Spirit a part of my life. And where are the teachings of the Spirit? The teachings of the Spirit are in the Word of God. And how am I spiritually minded? I stay focused to the Word of God. Now let's take some passages along that line. Notice what it says here. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. Notice it tells us here, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That be the Scriptures, correct? Look at verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So let me ask you this. Where's the responsibility lie? Where does the responsibility lie to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It lies with me. It lies with you. Because it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does your Bible say that? So that's a requirement of me. I'm to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Now, let's look at the next passage. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul, as he writes to the brethren at Colossae, states, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what? The knowledge of God. First passage, be filled with the Spirit. Second passage, be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, is that how I'm filled with the Spirit? As being filled with the knowledge of His will. So again, as I said, is the Holy Spirit working in my life? To the extent that I'm taking God's Word and making it a part of my life. Now let's go on and study this further. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, very familiar passage. We could spend a whole week on this passage, but I'm only going to touch on it again this morning. I use it quite often. And by the way, when I say that, I'm not apologizing for that, because that's how we remember things. It's repetition over and over again. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Listen, be transformed, why? By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why do we want to have the renewing of our mind? To have that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see the phrase renewing of your mind? See that there? Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. It tells us here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You have that there? How are we renewed? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now that's talking about Christ. But how am I renewed in knowledge? So when we go back and we see be filled with the Spirit, I have to renew my mind in knowledge and put that into play in my life. Therefore, when I take the teachings of the Spirit, the Word of God, and make them a part of my life, can I say the Holy Spirit's working in my life? And the answer is yes, to the effect that I take those teachings and make them a part of my life, right? Let's go to another example of this as we talk about the Holy Spirit and one's conduct. We are to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. We have recorded for us here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not talking walking in your own spirit. Walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, again, the question is posed, how do I walk in the Spirit? Does the Spirit mystically overwhelm me? No, because then that would take away what? My freedom of choice. So how do I walk in the Spirit? I walk in the Spirit by walking according to the teachings of the Spirit. How do I know that? Well, I know that by the best illustration, and that's our Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, and we have Jesus when he's tempted in those 40 days, correct? Who's tempting him? Satan. Now, how does Jesus, the Son of God, deity in the flesh, overcome temptation? By going back to the Word. Now, the Word he goes back to is the Old Testament Word, but we have the New Testament. But he goes in, when we look at Matthew chapter 4, as he was challenged, it talks about Jesus, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Again, the second temptation, verse 7, Jesus responds, and Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then the third time, verse 10, Jesus responds, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Okay, we're looking at walk in the Spirit so we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How did Jesus overcome the lust of the flesh? By going back to what? The Word of God. How do you and I overcome the lust of the flesh? By going back to the sword of the Spirit, God's Word, and by applying that to our lives. Doesn't that make sense? If that's not true, then if I am overcome by the lust of the flesh and it's not my responsibility, then guess who we're going to have to blame? The Holy Spirit. No, we don't get to blame the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us the source to overcome temptation. So to walk in the Spirit does not walk by some unspeakable thing that's just kind of overwhelmed you. To walk in the Spirit is to go to the teachings of the Spirit and apply those teachings to my life to overcome sin. One more passage along that line. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, so if I go out and live the week any which way I want to, and don't take the teaching of the Spirit to conform to those things, then I'm going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? Now, is the Holy Spirit working in my life? Well, if I take those teachings and apply them to keep me from sinning. Let's go to another illustration. We're to endeavor. Notice it's up to us. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. What Spirit are we talking about there? We're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? We're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. While you're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to give you a true illustration from many years ago. Many years ago, we were studying with someone of a denomination who believed the Holy Spirit worked miraculously in their lives. And we wanted to go, this one sister in Christ wanted to study with them, so we offered to go to one of their things so they would come to one of ours. Well, they had a meal before their message. They were at a restaurant. And I said, well, we're not going to the meal, but we'll be there after the meal to hear his message. And he started out with blasphemy. The speaker gets up after the meal and saying what a good meal they had and how many people there and grateful you're here. And he said, well, I ate too much, but I'm not worried. The Holy Spirit will take care of it. And I wanted to stand up right there. And I said, no, you didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, because if you ate too much, the Holy Spirit talks about gluttony. You wouldn't have to go into gluttony. You see, the Holy Spirit would have taken care of it through the teachings and had self-restraint. You don't get up there and say, well, I've overdone my lust of the flesh. I've overeaten. But the Holy Spirit will take care of it. God forbid we look at the Holy Spirit like that. We already started off on the wrong foot when he said that. And I brought that up to him afterwards, and he didn't like that. He said, I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, I am. I told him, yes, I am. Because I take the teaching of the Spirit and make them a part of my life. And the teachings of the Spirit tells me to have self-control. So if I ate too much chicken, I rejected the teachings of the Spirit. Right? Get the point? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. It states here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Who's responsible to keep the unity of the Spirit? Christians are. Right? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, how do we do that? Well, it goes on, it tells us right in the next verses. The unity of the Spirit is one body, one Spirit. Okay. Endeavoring to keep the unity. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just so you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Okay. There we have unity, do we not? One, 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 one. We're to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're to be a part of how many bodies? One body. We're to have how many faiths? One faith. We're to have how many hopes? One hope. We're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, are we not? How do we do that? We do that by going to the teachings of the Spirit. You get my point? Is the Holy Spirit working in your life, Chuck? Absolutely, to the extent I allow the God's Word to work in my life. But absolutely not if I do nothing with the Word of God throughout the week. But let's go on. Let's go on. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Now understand this. There's not a person alive that understands the Godhead to its fullness. We only understand the Godhead to the extent He revealed Himself to us by creation and by His teachings. That's the extent. We cannot put God under a microscope. There's a lot of things I truly don't understand about God. But I understand how the Holy Spirit works in my conversion, and it's through the gospel. And I understand how the Holy Spirit works in my life, and it's by making those teachings my life. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which ye have heard from me in faith, love, which is in Christ Jesus. So is there a pattern to hold fast to? Absolutely. We'll talk more about that perhaps next week. But all I'm trying to say, to keep the unity of the Spirit, where do you go? You go to the teachings of the Spirit. I heard a preacher one time, oh, I thank God for the many faiths. What? I thank God for the many faiths. Where do you get that in the Word of God? Did I miss something? One faith. I'm not going to pray for many faiths. There's one faith. And that's the faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm not upset, but I'm just, you see how foolish people get? Oh, the Holy Spirit moved me to come here. The only way the Holy Spirit's going to move you is by the teaching of the Spirit to get you up out of bed to be here. Because you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Right? Again, we like to make things mystical so that we have no responsibility. If the Holy Spirit is not working in my life, I'm responsible for that. And so are you. Because the Holy Spirit will definitely work in our lives if we take the teachings of the Spirit and apply them to our everyday living. The Holy Spirit works through the sword of the Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Which is the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The sword of the Spirit. Hebrews talks about being a two-edged sword. But that's what we do. Now, when we take the sword of the Spirit, let's see what the sword of the Spirit does for us. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We have recorded for us here, again, is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Well, only if you're taking those teachings and making them a part of your life. But if you're not taking those teachings and making them part of your life, no, the Holy Spirit's not going to work in you. God will never take away your freedom of choice. Understand that. God won't take away my freedom of choice. Does He desire the Holy Spirit to work in my life? Sure, that's why we've got this book before us this morning. But what are we doing with it? And not simply to memorize it, but to live it. There's a big difference. I can memorize something, but that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's working in my life. I've got to put it into practice. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through what? Through the knowledge of Him who hath called us by glory and virtue. How are we called? Weren't you two were called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. But we don't stop by being simply called. Now we have to live according to that calling. We have to be the conduct. And does God give us all things that pertain to life and godliness? Sure He does. Through what? Through these teachings. I'm not trying to be arrogant. But in my opinion, our society is more illiterate concerning the Word of God today than it was back in 1977. Because we go by feelings, and we go by this, and we go by that, and we don't go by simply going back to the Word and putting in the effort to study for ourselves and know what God's will has to say. We'd much rather have someone tell us what to do. And though the internet can be helpful, quite frankly, it's quite harmful. Because people go to the internet to be entertained instead of to learn what they need to do. The Holy Spirit teaches us what to do, gives us all things through the teaching of the Spirit. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So someone said, Chuck, you mean to tell me if someone asks you, is the Holy Spirit working in your life, you'll say yes? Yes, I will. And I'll say it this way. Yes, to the degree that I'm taking the Word of God and putting it in my life. Yes, the Holy Spirit is working in me as long as I'm taking the teachings of the Spirit and making them a part of my life. Now, can I quench the Spirit? Sure. But as long as I don't quench the Spirit, it can work in my life to the extent of the effort that I put in and unto the effort that you put in. We have 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And where did that inspiration come from? The Holy Spirit. Men were moved when they were moved by the Spirit of God. 2 Peter talks about that, does it not? So we have the inspired Word before us. How did it come to us? Through the medium of the Holy Spirit. And what do those teachings do? Well, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That kind of covers all the territory, doesn't it? That the man of God might be what? Complete. In other words, it tells me, hey, I can be complete through the teachings of this book. But what's really sad, people don't know this book. They pick and choose specific passages, and they distort it. And therefore, no, they're not walking by the Spirit. They're walking by their opinions. They're walking by their feelings. How sad that is. Again, we're to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. There's a whole lesson or series of lessons right there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Talks about the lust of the flesh from 20, 21, but then 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Where do we learn about love? In the Word of God. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Where do we learn about all those things? Right here in this book, by the teaching of the Spirit. So in other words, as we go to that book, those areas should be a part of my life, should they not? Again, how does the Holy Spirit do it? Through the teachings of the Spirit. Look at what Paul states to the elders of Ephesus as we come to the close. In Acts chapter 20, and remember, Paul had gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he's not talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps some of those at Ephesus had various gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he's not focusing on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know what he's focusing on? Verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God, and what? Look at what it says. To the word of his grace, which is what? Which is able to do what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. There you go. Able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Now, are we doing that? Are we taking those teachings and making them part of our life? You see, that puts a whole new spin on, no one's going to tell me to study. No one's going to force me to study. Whole new spin. Because if you want the Holy Spirit in your life, you're going to have to study and apply. There's no other option, people. No other option. Not if you believe in the Word of God. As we close this morning, we're to sow to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Thank be to God he gave us the word by the medium of the Holy Spirit that we can be the type of people that God would want us to be. In Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Notice who's the responsibility on? The one who sows. What are you sowing? Goes on to state, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, now here it is. How do you sow to the Spirit? By taking the teachings of the Spirit and making them a part of your life. And if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap what? Everlasting life. Our religious world makes it hard. It's not really that hard. You want the Spirit involved in your life, then you take the teachings of the Spirit and make them your life. as we close with these passages. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's an interesting passage, isn't it? The Spirit Himself, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. How is that accomplished? Well, I tie that together with 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:5 with Romans 8. We have recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 this simple passage. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Okay, where does faith come from? God's word. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? How does the Spirit bear witness with my spirit that we're children of God? How do we know that we're not going to be disqualified to see if our lives are in harmony with the teachings of the Word of God? Right? Question is your life in harmony with the teachings of the Word of God? It's not based by feelings. It's based by inspiration of God's Word. It's based by taking that Word and making it a part of our life. Now, before we sing the song of invitation, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7. In Acts, chapter 7, every close of every lesson, and I think it's rightfully we do this, we give an opportunity for people to make a response if it is needed. And that is, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you get the opportunity to respond to the Spirit, the teachings of the Spirit, being baptized as they were on the day of Pentecost. Or if you've been baptized and you just flat out quenched the Spirit, you've done nothing with the teachings of the Spirit in your life, you can change that too by coming forward and praying with the brethren and make that correction. But here's the scary thing. Here's the scary thing. We can ignore all that like they did in Acts 7. Let's look at Acts chapter 7 as Stephen is teaching. And let's go drop all the way down now to verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do ye. Whoa! Did you catch that? Can you resist the Holy Spirit? Yeah. And what Stephen is saying to those Jews, you're doing just what your fathers did. Now, how did the fathers resist the Holy Spirit? Go to the next verse. I'm glad you asked. Verse 52. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute, and they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom now you have become betrayers and murderers? They, the fathers, resisted the Holy Spirit by resisting the message of the prophets. Correct? And they, that Stephen was talking to, could resist the Holy Spirit by resisting the message of the gospel. Correct? It's up to you. Does that mean you're stronger than the Holy Spirit? No, absolutely not. It just means God gives you freedom of choice. Freedom of choice of what to do. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of God? I like when people say, Chuck, do you have the Spirit? Absolutely. I don't hesitate, but I'll say, let's study that topic, because a lot of people have confusion about that. It's not absolutely I'm running by some feeling that's unexplainable. Absolutely, because I can show you, book, chapter, and verse, what the Spirit wants me to do. Right? and what he wants you to do. So again, I ask you, how's the Holy Spirit in your conduct? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you developing the fruit of the Spirit? Are you being the type of people that God would want you to be? Are you just going about living life your way, and Christianity is a Sunday thing? Don't make Christianity a Sunday thing. Make Christianity a way of life as we stand and as we sing.